In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Apocalypse Video. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by friends and fellow cinephiles, Ryan Caldwell.
Hello.
Michael Althouse.
Hello.
And our man in the machine, Chad Greiner.
Greetings, meatbags.
And thank God for you, Chad, because if you didn't tune into last week's episode, we almost died in a horrific explosion caused by, we had some interesting issues with the air duct systems. Apparently, there was a woman living in there that we didn't know about. She got trapped in there after the Terra People incident a handful of episodes back. We were able to escape with our lives. We don't know what happened with Jackie. We did not find a body. Chad did a scan. He didn't see anything outside of the premises. We didn't think to scan inside because why would we do that? She surely wouldn't have gone back into the air vents. But who knows what happened? Maybe she'll pop up in the future. Maybe we'll find her body somewhere. I don't know. Only time will tell. However,
pour one out.
We will pour out a Mountain Dew Livewire in her memory because surely she is dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is not coming back. Anyway. Nobody was found. Anyway.
Just make sure you pour out the live wire outside the building. It's going to eat through the floor.
Yeah, that's true. It was a coincidence we found that out after the Aliens screening. It's a wonder why we're still alive after we drink so much of it. But anyway. So obviously we're back. That's good news. I have more good news. It's also teamed up with some... well, fairly bad news. So obviously some of the good news, we're still alive, folks. We didn't die in the horrific explosion. The store survived. Yeah, come on down. We're still open. I mean, obviously there, you know, there's some, you know, we don't have a door exactly. The door blew off. So, you know, it's kind of like, it's a little ghetto. You know, we got like,
I mean, what local business in these parts has not been ravaged by the Terra People at some point? You know,
that
it's just, it's the cost of business.
So it's a little ghetto looking, but we're doing it. We're fixing it up. We're still open. We're still maintaining regular business hours after the explosion. So, you know, good news. However, there is some bad news. The store did survive, but not all of the store survived. Unfortunately, I'm sad to say we lost our adult video section in the explosion.
What?
And... yeah, I know. And also further, our adult video section accounted for 98% of our business.
Looks
so
like better
there's
pack
that.
It up. Go to the other
video. No, store. Not so fast.
No?
Not so fast, Ryan. We had a pretty good response to the Aliens episode, and I have a feeling it was because the movie was so fucking badass. People in the wasteland really responded to it. All the road warriors out there really took a liking to this film.
Well, who wouldn't?
So,
it's pretty badass, you know? JC, bringing it home.
Bringing it home. So here's, okay, so Mike, you're our new hire. I actually have a job for you this week.
All right, I'm ready for it.
So we lost our adult video section. That was our main source of income. You know, people came in, you know, bringing food and whatnot, and we'd give them adult videos. I mean, honestly, we would rather give them, like, good cinema, but, I mean, to be fair, adult films are cinema as well.
I mean, we're trying to spread the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland. You know, we got to take them where we can find them.
Exactly. So with that in mind, with the adult film section out and the huge response to the Aliens episode out there in the wasteland, my thinking was... here, now, stay with me on this, guys.
Sure, sure.
Because our Aliens episode was so badass and was so well-received...
really
I'm
badass.
I'm thinking, since we no longer have the adult video section, we now need to rely on badass movies.
You know what? I think that's a great idea. Can we just start like a badass section?
Yes. Now, I'm not just talking regular badass. I'm talking fucking metal as shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, hell yeah.
Metal movies.
Yes. Now, Mike, you're our new hire. I know this might be unwise. Ryan, stay with me on this. I know he's only been with us for a short time. But one of the things he had in his resume back when we did the Mortal Kombat tournament, he said that he has an extensive knowledge of the Criterion Collection.
I do. Before it all went down, I had a lot of those movies available to me.
Yes. So with that in mind, Mike, I want you to choose this week's episode. Keeping in mind, we want. All right. So here's our criteria this week. We need it to be badass. We need fucking, I don't know. What do we need in a badass movie? Ryan, let's go down the list.
We need like cliffs. Like just razor sharp cliffs.
Okay, like Mission Impossible Fallout kind of cliffs.
Yeah. Yes. Well, no, like Mission Impossible 2 cliffs.
Oh shit.
You need badass characters.
Badass characters. Darkness.
People who don't give a fuck.
Yes, we need badass eyelining. We need that.
Technicolor.
Yes. Good. I like where you're going.
A lot of crosses, maybe.
Upside down crosses.
If you're talking metal, fucking man.
I got the movie for you. I know it. There's only one movie that is this badass and in the Criterion Collection. When I tell you the name, you guys are going to, you're just going to say yes. You're not going to want, you need to know more.
I cannot wait. Tell us.
How about we watch Black Narcissus?
That sounds like the most badass metal movie I have ever heard of in my life. I cannot wait. Oh my fucking god. All right.
Let's do
Chad,
it.
Tell me we have this in stock.
Affirmative.
We do. Oh, fuck yes. All right. I knew we had Criterion Collection on hand. All right. Chad, or why? Excuse me, Mike. Would you do the honors?
Sure. Just let me dust off our Criterion Collection area. Seems a little dusty, so just give me a second to clean this off.
With a title like Black Narcissus, I cannot imagine that this movie isn't anything other than total just badassdom, folks. You got to come down here. We're talking about Black Narcissus. All right, Chad, load her up.
This is the story of a high endeavor that tried and tested a woman in the remote background of Asia. The story of a prince and a beggar maid, and of a nun who gave up her vows.
Why should we want to keep you here against your will? Because you're all jealous of me. Especially you.
The clash of strong personalities.
I understood you wanted to see me.
We want to talk to you on business.
I suppose you want to talk to me on anything else. Sorry.
I don't know why you are being so rude to me, Mr. Dean. I have to talk business with you, whether I like it or not.
The contrast of present peace and self-denial with the rich memories of the full years that have passed. They renounced the world of men, but found that the world was not to be denied.
Well, not exactly what I was expecting, but I gotta hand it to this movie. This movie did have exquisite yearning. Is that fair to say?
Oh fuck yeah, it did.
And it was a story of fascinating adventure in a strange and beautiful land.
Were there not cliffs?
There were fucking cliffs. Like the movie starts with a cliff, basically.
Loss of faith. What the hell? There's tons of metal shit going on in this.
Hidden mountain villages. This movie was kind of badass. I don't know why I'm talking like Jerry Seinfeld right now.
Abandoned fortresses.
Fuck yeah. Fucking English guys with short shorts and feather hats.
Oh, colonialism.
Little pony.
Yeah, man. Fucking.
Riding pony.
His feet were like touching the ground.
Well, this okay, so just to get into it, Black Narcissus, so as I said, not exactly what we were expecting. Like, I don't know if I would call this metal.
Maybe not the most metal.
It did technically have all the criteria we listed earlier, so Mike, I can't fault you exactly, but it wasn't exactly
I gave you what you asked for, you know.
You did.
This is the Criterion Collection's version of metal.
I mean, and maybe if I wanted to get literal, I probably should have said, maybe we should watch like The Decline of Western Civilization. That would actually be a metal thing to watch from the Criterion Collection. But again, I have to defer to your knowledge of the Criterion Collection. I'm not as knowledgeable in that area as you are.
Trust me, this is going to get the fans from The Wasteland to come check out videos from our store.
Fuck yeah, fucking 1947 Technicolor dreaming, man. Here we go. But I mean, when this movie started, I had never seen this movie before. Mike, you obviously had. Ryan, had you seen this
movie? No, I hadn't seen this before.
I was the one that recommended this movie in the first place.
Right. Ryan's the one, he saw this a long time ago in our vaults and has just been stewing on it for a while and is like, I have things to say about Black Narcissus.
I told Mike about it and I was just like, you gotta watch this someday. So that's why.
Wait, hold on. Are you taking credit for Ryan's movie, Mike?
I'm not at all.
This is the one who recommended this.
Just because I am familiar with the Criterion Collection's vast array of offerings.
He may be.
So you're just a big fat phony.
I may have based this entirely off of the title.
Oh my god. Yeah. Ryan, I'm sorry. I assumed you just had no movie knowledge whatsoever. It turns out Mike's just a big fat phony.
I'm a fraud.
It's true. I wish. Oh my god. All right. Well, we gotta get John back in here. Jonathan Hinckley, like, at least he wasn't lying about his movie.
Hey,
knowledge.
I still make a mean rat burger.
Yeah.
Alright, that is
all right,
true.
You can stay. Okay.
Alright, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This was secretly my choice for sure. I figured we'd class up the joint a little bit, you know, but it sounds pretty metal still, you know.
But, to be fair, this movie begins with fucking horns.
Yeah.
Even before that, Dave, this movie begins with a shirtless buff dude banging a gong.
Yes. When that happened, I was like, I'm fucking in. The very first shot, I'm in.
Well, man. Before even that, like, how many great... movie logos are in the beginning of this movie.
Right! That's what I was thinking. Like, these were like some primo movie logos. There was that. There was like the Archer shot.
There's the Archer films.
A production of Archers or something like that.
The Janus Films logo is like too much because you could put that before like Hot
like,
Chick.
Dude, where's
and
my
I would,
car?
Yeah, and I'd think like, oh, I guess this is important. Like... Yeah, it's like really amazing how they just they nailed it.
What's the gong company? Which one's that?
It's like J. Arthur something.
Yeah, it's like the rich businessman who funded the Archer Brothers production.
No, it's fucking I don't know. Like, there's just like the arrows hitting the logo and all that stuff. It just
and then from there, it's like a straight cut to those horns blasting. So cool. One of the many like kind of like Dark Souls-y imagery that this movie has. I'm gonna guess, you know, they influenced Dark Souls, not the other way around. But it's like awesome. This is some good like they sound like, you know. Reminded me of what I've heard in the distance with Morton Hoof when he's having his tournaments.
So I typed this in into the terminal here, and the plot keywords that Chad showed me were Himalayan mountains. I'm in. Okay, female protagonist, awesome. None. It just says none, and also my favorite
none.
Sexual repression.
Hey, that's pretty metal.
That is awesome.
Well. I've been kind of like pushing this movie lately in the last like when I saw this in the old world, I was always just like, why isn't anybody talking about these directors? These guys, Pressburger and Powell. And I think what it is like they never were Hollywood directors. And we're always just given like in the, you know, the AFI.
They're
100.
British movie makers,
yeah,
right?
They're British. And so like they're never like their movies were never put on like those lists and stuff. So I feel like I'm like I was a total. Like, why weren't they talk about these guys in film school, David? We went to film school together in the old world. Do you remember them talking about them at all? I don't think so. I feel like it was skipped.
I think like American film, like the film canon is definitely American centric. Like, there's a lot of foreign films that just don't show up on when you're reading lists that, you know, like should be there, like Ozu movies.
Yeah,
this was fucking crazy. This was a masterpiece. I feel like.
Did you guys? And, I mean, I guess did you guys like it? I mean, we haven't really said that.
I did.
Yeah. I don't know if I liked it as much as you did, Ryan. And I'm curious to hear kind of what Because it sounded like I imagined back when Chad had a human form, he would pace around a lot when he saw something that really touched him.
I think he would have liked this movie.
I think he would have too. I'm curious. I imagine that you were doing the same after you saw this.
I think I have. I mean, well, go ahead, David.
I mean, this movie, I think, if anything, whatever your thoughts on this movie, there's one thing that's undeniable. This movie is just fucking gorgeous to look at.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, right? every scene in this movie, like, especially outdoors and the matte paintings.
Oh, great matte paintings.
Fuck,
I would put this on a list of, like, 10 pictures where matte paintings, you know, like, it's like Total Recall, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and this.
Yeah, well,
it won some Oscars.
Shot it
it
yeah.
won an Oscar for that.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
I didn't even know. I know that it was all shot at Pinewood, so it was shot, you know, where they shoot Star Wars.
Yeah, best art direction, set direction, and also best cinematography, which, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So they were getting a lot of praise here when they were around. I wonder why it's, you know.
Well, I guess at the time, looking, so, hold on one sec. All right, thank you, Chad. Sorry, I got some trivia I had to print it out here. So, you guys heard of the Legion of Decency?
No.
I have not.
So apparently, this movie came out in 1947. This is before, if any movie history aficionados out there, this was before the Hays Code was abolished and all that. That didn't happen until like 20 years later. So at this point, things like the Legion of Decency still had a lot of sway over movie going, particularly in obviously in America. And I guess this movie had to be cut down to secure a release. Like, for one thing, oddly, like, the close-up of Sister Ruth applying makeup had to be cut.
So the American release was, like, neutered, kind of, like, censored.
A little bit. It also had to make sure that the nuns went from Protestant to Catholic, and they were very particular.
Oh, wow.
No, they need to be Catholic.
Land of the free.
Yes, exactly.
Well, like, yeah, it's a weird... To me, this movie, like, it came out in 1947, so it's right after World War II, basically, and it feels very, I don't know, like, it feels like something that, like PTA would make or something, in a weird way.
There's definitely, I feel like, a sense, the whole movie has a sense of kind of like a ruin and the ghosts of the past, and that before where we're at now was a better time or a more vibrant, alive time. And I mean, Britain in 1947, you know, it's not as bad as it is now, but it was pretty, you know, pretty devastating. You know, that country was devastated. That just had to have been on their mind.
Yeah, there was actually before. The internet was cut out, and the store here, I was watching some of the behind-the-scenes stuff for it, and there was the cinematographer talking about it, and he was talking about how, like, people were just, like those directors in particular were sick of, like, war movies, and because they were all just, like, reminding everybody of, like, the, you know, of getting bombed in London and stuff like that. So they didn't want to make, like, a war movie and wanted to make something, like, totally different and kind of hopeful in a way, but... But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Just interesting ideas, I think, in this movie. So, I don't know.
Well, it's a lot of it. I mean, just to kind of talk in the movie, Ryan, since this is kind of your movie, like, for anyone who hasn't seen it, how would you break it down?
So, it's about basically like a covenant, is that how you say it? Covenant of nuns? Covenant of nuns? They're one of them.
Convent.
Covenant
is witches.
Oh, okay.
Convent.
Convent. This shows you my Catholic upbringing has really done well for me. But
you're the one here who's brought up Catholic.
I know. I think David, you were too, weren't you?
No, I was too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the heathen here, us.
Did either of you have go to like a school with nuns or anything at any time?
No, I didn't go to that. I mean, I went to Sunday school every now and then. I hated it, by the way.
Yeah,
when I was 16, my mom's like, "Do you want to keep going to church?" I'm like, "Hell no."
To convince, like, I was just always not about it. It was never like a gradual thing. It was just like, "Get me the hell out of here."
All hail Satan. Get me out of here.
I could be playing Smash Bros.
Yeah, right. A convent, there's nuns, and like one of them is assigned to go to this Himalayan palace, basically, to like start a new convent up in the mountains or whatever. With, and does it say what country it is? I don't remember.
It's in India, I think.
Which it starts is like, out in Calcutta, but this is, it just says the Himalayan Mountains, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because yeah. there's like all the British like people ruling everything.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, and then
and she's not ready.
Yeah, I guess so. It's like,
but yeah, I mean, she's tasked with like the big job. Like she has to go like be the leader of this covenant and like establish.
Yeah, fucking Mother Superior, who looks like Emperor Palpatine, is just like, I don't think you're ready. But I don't think you're ready. But take these other nuns, one of which is seriously ill and kind of a freaky person. But take her anyway.
Yeah, so there's like a group of them, and they all have their own like special, you know, things they're good at.
The nice one reality. Named Honey.
Honey, yeah, and do you remember she's the other well-liked. Ones? Like there was like the garden girl lady, which is the one that breaks my heart. I don't know why. I'll get to that, I guess. But
is she the older one? That she's wants the older to leave one. Later?
Did yeah, you cry she, during okay. this movie?
That for some reason, okay, there's a it's skipping ahead, but basically, what happens? All these nuns in this beautiful place kind of get transformed by it. Like they're just like how like God is not treated the same way there, and they're not really forcing everybody to do everything. They're but people want to learn, and I don't know. They just kind of like are changed by the people living in this area in the mountains, and everything's so beautiful and clear, and it's almost like they're able to. See more clear in this area than they used to, and
it's interesting they talk about like the air being clear. That's a repeated thing they mention, and when they bring it up, it's like they're talking about like Chernobyl or something, or when we go outside like the rads. But they're like it's weird. They're like the air is so clear. Oh, yeah. but yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, it's like it's kind of like changing them in a way that they don't like.
Yeah, like there's a and basically what happens throughout the course of the movie is that. Like they start losing control of this area basically for different reasons and like kind of falling apart as them because like and losing they don't necessarily lose faith but they kind of like question themselves about it.
One of the people loses faith. They all kind of have ways of we're like breaking down.
Yeah, and so like getting back to I guess the garden lady, the older one, like she, instead of planting, she's supposed to be, like, taking care of the garden, planting vegetables and, like, potatoes and all this stuff. And then she plants flowers instead, and she doesn't even, like, realize she did it in a way and stuff. And I don't know, for some reason, like, that just, like, gets to me. I'm just, like, she's, like, looking out in the distance, and she's just, like, doesn't even, like, and she's, like, you keep working, sister. You're gonna, you know, gotta really have to pull through here. And she looks at her hands, and they're, like, blistered.
Oh, God,
yeah. She's been working like crazy. Oh,
that's a great, that was a great cut. That's, like, such a well-done scene.
The music in that moment too, dun 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 dun. Dun.
They kind of play it like the way that it's cut and the way the music goes. It's like they're it's like in Midsommar, like you're expecting them to cut to like a scene of insane gore, but it's kind of gross, but it makes it feel like a lot more intense than it is because of the great movie making.
You guys think for 1947 people like fainted, like, oh my God.
I did see Chad's database when I was before we watched this. Because it was relatively color was relatively new at the time, there's a scene I think it might be after that. It's around that time in the movie where it just shows a lot of cherry blossoms close up, like really pink, vibrant cherry blossoms. And apparently at screenings, people gasped at that. And it was just sort of talked about and treated in the way that like really good CG would be, you know, in like the 2010s.
It's basically like they talk a little bit like in one of the behind the scenes, they talk about that, you know, this was a relatively new with Technicolor. And they had really strict guidelines, like the company Technicolor, of like how you could use it and everything.
Oh, because they're like, hey, you better show off our company, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah. But these guys like pushed it even further. They were like, whoa, too much. Like they were kind of there's moments in the movie where they like wanted. There's like glares happening and like shiny lighted spots happening like on the ground and all kinds of stuff. Huh. And Technicolor was like, "Hey, that shouldn't look like that."
There's a shot towards the end when they're waiting for Ruth to come back. Is it Sister Rebecca? Is that the Mother Superior there?
That was like Clauda?
The main one is like Sister Clauda, I think, or Clauda.
Clauda. Okay, I don't know why I came Rebecca. But Clauda, when she's waiting for Ruth to come back after she leaves and she goes crazy, and we'll talk about her like mysterious package that comes in the mail. Mm-hmm. So after she leaves, there's a moment where dawn, and like the lights beaming in off the floor. Like you mentioned the floor, Ryan. Yeah. Like that moment is so fucking beautiful. Like I didn't audibly gasp, but I was like, oh. Well, I guess I did, oddly. Okay. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they were talking about how, like, the Technicolor people were kind of like, that shouldn't be that way. Like, because, like,
it shouldn't look that good.
Yeah, well, not only did it look that good, but they were almost, like, pushing it to the point where, like Technicolor didn't want to have, like, shiny objects and glares happening and stuff. Like, they wanted to kind of be flat, you know? And these guys were pushing it this, like, high contrast to happen and stuff like that. And the movie, like, it's almost like the color is, like, pulsating off the film almost. It's so, like, being blasted like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Very vibrant. Like, in the trivia here that I got from Chad, it said that because of the camera film stock, the sets needed 800-foot candles of illuminance to operate at 12.8, whatever that is, which was the widest lens aperture setting. So wow. Just imagine 800-foot candles.
What Jeez. The fuck?
In order to light this thing.
That's pretty metal.
It's probably like 800 candle lights, right? Like not 800 foot. Wait, is that right?
801 foot candles.
That's what it says on Chad's. Granted, Chad gets a lot of his trivia from the old IMDb archive, so maybe I'm reading that wrong. I'm not sure, but that's what it says.
Right. I do like how it uses color too. I mean, there's a lot of the movie that is very gray.
And it says 8,600 lux. Ryan, you're a bit more technical.
I don't know.
Very bright candles, essentially. I'm just guessing.
It's the
wait.
Candle,
so there,
the
there's
lights.
Nothing like, in there about 800 feet sized candles.
It just says 800 feet and 800 foot candles.
It's gonna
luminance.
Be. It's probably the can't like you know like a light. You grade it on its luminance. It's candle luminance. Like so. Like there are lights putting out 800. The level of 800 candles, basically. Probably. That's my guess.
I don't know. I think it might be an almost 1,000 foot long candle that they had to like stick out and stand way back.
That doesn't make any sense at all. But okay.
Well, hey, to be fair, they were like on a cliff thing, so they probably had to be.
I don't think it was a real cliff. Those were matte paintings.
Yeah, that was a Pinewood Studios. That whole thing.
Well, shucks, guys. Those are some pretty convincing matte paintings, right?
Boy, they said it was some good matte paintings. Oh man, yeah. Dave's like imagining like a literal like they're filming this in Nepal with like 1,000 feet below the cliff, holding gigantic candles.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, all the cameras are on like these giant sticks that they're like raising up, and they're just like, and they get a signal from the guy at the top, like, all right, move it left, guys. They all rotate.
They have like one of those accordion ladders for the director chair that just goes way high up.
It was very dangerous to film this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the woman at the end of the movie did fall off a cliff and die.
Oh, that was great. I was thinking she was going to hang herself.
I don't know. So that's
that like, was pretty. That was pretty metal.
Yeah, there's basically like the two main kind of characters. Really, is that the sister superior Clauda, I think is her name. She's like the leader, and then basically
Deborah Kerr, right.
Yeah. And then Sister Ruth is kind of the one that's always been sick, and she's like kind of basically do you think it's intentional that they look the same? Like they look almost like
yeah.
The same
it similar, reminded me yeah. a lot of Persona, which I know I'm pretty sure Persona came after this, but I feel like there's probably some inspiration there. I think it's definitely intentional that they're kind of similar because they're two sides of the coin. And like,
well, yeah, one person like Ruth is all fed up with this shit. She wants to go back to her old life. And Claudia, is it Claudia?
Claudia.
Mother Superior is just like, she's like lusting for her old life, but she really wants to fucking like get this place up and running
and stay in the nunnery. And yeah, it's like the kind of crisis of faith ending up being, you know, two different people. Like, one, by the end of this movie, one is ingrained further into the church, so much so that, spoilers, Mother Superior basically gets like a demotion, but she's still like, I'm in it, and I'm only going to hold Dean's hand and not even kiss him because I vowed my vow.
That was so. Such a great moment. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one is like, I'm out. I'm well, they're dead, but she's they dead. Tried to just like get out of the church.
Do you think, I don't know, like, I, do you think that the Sister Superior, like, her kind of thinking about her old life, like, that she didn't want to stop, or do you, like, it wasn't second-guessing herself?
I think she definitely was second-guessing herself, yeah. But I think ultimately
well,
she...
Well, because the whole time she's up there, she's like, I gotta deal with fucking wind blowing through all the goddamn time. Well, she didn't say that, but, she, you know, she's everyone's wearing gloves.
We don't speak and, about like, fucking, Christ so
fucking,
casually.
Fucking old, yeah, everyone's talking about Christ like he's just, ain't no thing. And you got people, instead of planting like much needed potatoes and onions and whatnot, they're planting fucking flowers. It's like, yeah, they're beautiful.
Dean's coming in just like his short shorts, even though apparently it's like 0 degrees.
I mean, how sexy is
shirtless, smoking a pipe.
You think he's an asshole? He's like the sexiest man alive, that guy.
I mean,
are you kidding?
He can
like,
be
when
both.
He walks in, he's got his little like stupid dorky hat with the feathers in it.
Oh man,
like,
he was pulling that hat off, Dave. I mean, yeah, he was an asshole and he was sexy.
I literally thought like, is this guy on his way to an audition for The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn? Like, what the fuck?
But I feel like that's kind of the vibe of his character. Like, he is kind it of is. Like he has too much, like a little too much swagger.
He's very much like when he comes in, he's like, there's fucking ladies in here trying to do
remember,
the Lord's
remember
work.
The scene during during Christmas, they're like doing the carols, oh, yeah. And he walks in drunk and just like stands by like the entrance and just like pushes a table over.
Pushes a table over? Oh, yeah, no.
Starts singing way louder than everyone else.
He's basically Robert De Niro in Cape Fear. Like, he's laughing at the theater. He's in there just singing his ass off. And everyone's like, God, this fucking prick. Right. Well, except the little general. The little general's like, all right.
But he has
pretty good voice.
Some of the most beautiful hair I've ever seen committed to film.
I will agree with you. Like, there were some shots where it, like, zoomed in, like, quickly. And I'm just like, oh, wow.
Those curls. Oh, my gosh.
Breathtaking. Like, Ryan, I understand it. And those close-ups, of which there are many in this movie.
Yeah, he has, like, his chest like, opened up. Like, his hairs, just, the chest hair just flowing in the freaking Himalayan.
His arms were pretty thick.
Like, my thought was, that is a dashing Englishman, basically.
And I love...
But God, he's an asshole.
The glimpses we get into his life outside of the nunnery, where, like,
oh, yeah.
there's a little bit where you see his setup, and, man, like, he's... It seems like he has basically slaves, and he's like just, I don't think he does anything. I think he just hangs out and has like slaves make him coffee in his weird percolator thing.
And then when he hears the fucking bells up on the cliff, he goes up to
see what this shit is.
Like, let me fix the plumbing up at the nunnery.
Well, he's the one that sent the letter, right? Like in the beginning, like that's his letter.
Well, what I love is that you hear his narration, like as she reads it, and like his like I guess she just imagines his tone as fucking nuns.
It's pretty good.
You know, just I like that they zoomed in on it and just like slowly panned down for the entire letter.
Well, no, you think they're going to do that, and then it fades out and just becomes narration. I actually really like that sequence.
Yeah, do you think Wes Anderson likes this movie?
Oh, definitely.
I think like I think there's Wes Anderson vibes all about it.
The strong like sense of aesthetics and the fact that like any frame of this could be like a photograph for sure.
Yeah, and just that letter thing with the paint with the voice is like totally his vibe too, you know.
Right, right. The kind of dry, sarcastic, like, dear Claude.
Oh yeah, and Darjeeling.
Find the mountain is not hospitable. Please wear your thickest robes.
And then Darjeeling is you know said a few times in the movie. It must be close by. So
yeah, they say that's like the city that's closest.
I couldn't help it. Like whenever I hear Darjeeling, I think of that movie. Also, and let me know if you guys had this problem too. Well, it wasn't a problem. It was just in the back of my head. Like when the movie started and kind of the gist of the plot came about, I just kept hearing this in my head. How do we solve a problem like? Maria or whatever. Like I kept thinking of Sound of Music.
What? Are you thinking Sound of Music just because it's old timey and British?
Well, no, because there's like a nun that's going to like fix someplace. Mm. Like, we're gonna go send this nun to fix someplace, and she's not.
I don't think she's like there to fix anything, though. I think it's more like we need an outpost here of the church, kind of thing.
Yeah, and like they talk about it. The brothers used to be there, and they also like ditched it. You know,
and like they have a really like shitty view of the people who live there already. They're like talking about them like, oh, they're like children.
Stink. Not very smart.
Yeah, like they're not there to like fix a problem. They're just kind of there to like learn about Jesus.
Set up shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was interesting too. Like the glimpses we see of the education that they are giving them, they're just like gun, cannon, warship.
Oh yeah, little Joseph the translator. He was the best.
He was an amazing kid actor. When he had his like breakdown and like he's like crying, that's top tier kid acting.
Right.
There's also that moment when like Ruth, the crazy nun who's going nuts and wants to get out, like she gets all hot for the little general.
You say crazy. I say she's the only one who's sane.
Yeah, so she's all like looking down. She's peering underneath during the lesson, just staring, just fucking staring intently. Like I mentioned the eye lighting earlier, like just mega eye lighting on Ruth throughout this whole movie, and she's just fucking just.
And as she gets more and more into madness, I love that she just starts having like red under her eyes, like they are like painting red eyeshadow. She's like a zombie. It's amazing. Yeah.
But getting back to what was the kid's name?
The little Joseph.
There's that moment when she's looking underneath Ruth and she's like, hey. And as Joseph's reading like his material, he looks over like, bitch, what are you looking at? Like he just kind of looks over like, are you fucking serious right now? And what I love about all this, like little general, for most of the movie, he's just like, look, I just want to learn algebra. I want to learn a couple languages. Like he's very rigorous with his schedule. Like from 3 to 4, we're gonna do this.
Oh, not the kid, the actual like general,
the actual little general. Yeah,
he's basically like the mayor of like the area kind of thing. I'm guessing. Yeah. He's like so. He's a very interesting character. Like. For me, a lot of this movie, not necessarily a knock on it or anything, it felt to me like kind of like a Hollywood movie a bit, or like a studio movie. And he was a character that both like the fact he was not in brown face, unlike the other major character who was like a native person. It was an actual like, you know, person of color.
An actor or something, whatever.
Yeah. And just the way his character was so different from anything I've seen in a movie that felt like this. It felt very like contemporary in that way that like it was this, I don't know what kind of archetype is that character. I don't like the studious kid who like kind of is kind shitty, of polite, but then has like a change of heart at the end. Yeah. It's interesting.
He's the one that says the title of the movie too. Narcissist.
It's the black narcissist,
or is like a cologne or whatever.
So what? So as how? What do you? How do you think that title relates to the plot of the movie?
He basically has a big speech about it.
Well, isn't it?
Maybe I can get Chad to find it for me.
I think it's the, because they talk about the perfumes a bit of like the nuns are like, no, I don't like that, and maybe it's a bit of like that. You know, a perfume or a cologne where you think of that, it's like lust and very against more like earthly desires versus spiritual desires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to find out. Keep going.
Well, one thing we haven't mentioned yet, and he pops up several times throughout the movie, the wise old man just kind of chilling at the top. The holy man. Like, I was thinking for sure the way this movie would end is somehow they'd go back to him and he'd start talking or something, but you never get back to him.
That's the Hollywood ending of this for sure.
Yes.
The Hollywood ending is cut to the holy man and he says, like, the black narcissist, a symbol of...
Surely Nurse Ruth was the black narcissist.
Exactly, yeah. Like Ruth was truly a black narcissist.
Well, I just figured he'd play in some way, but he doesn't. Instead, what we get is that awesome moment when she leaves and she talks to Dean, and just instead of kissing, she just kind of holds his hand and they say goodbye. It's very nice and pleasant, and he kind of looks. And you do get a Hollywood moment, Ashley, I think, when he looks back, when it starts raining, finally. She leaves just as the rain breaks, and he gets that moment where he whips his wet hair like that, and just sort of gives that dashing look, and it's just like, she's amazing.
God, he was so wet.
He doesn't say that, but the look in his eyes is like, she's all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I love about this, and weirdly in my mind, like, this seemed like a shot, the composition and whatnot, that seemed years ahead of 1947, where they were.
Which shot in particular?
Set up shots. It's the shot at the end when it starts raining on the...
Oh, we see the leaf, because we see the kind of escalation of the rainstorm happen.
Escalation, and then it just slowly pans up, and you see them leaving. Like, somehow that shot with the leaves, like, seemed years ahead of...
There were a few of those.
Visually, of where they were, out of this time.
A few of those, I thought. There was a consistent framing, and this is, like, very Wes Anderson. When it would cut to the chapel, and the nurses, or the nuns, the nuns were on their knees, and it was always framed in this kind of specific way.
Perfectly centered.
It felt like... totally something out of a Midsommar, if you will.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's what I just love about it. Is just like there's always something amazing to look at it for it. It's pretty short movie, and it ticks off real fast, and it kind of slows down a little bit in the middle, but then like it has just a crazy ending though too.
I think in a good way, it feels like a little longer. I guess like it's not that I was like bored, but I think that it felt so like meaty and substantial that by the end of it, I was like, that was a big movie.
The Ruth character is so compelling too. I mean, every shot she's in, her eyes, she's like bug eyed, like, hey, like that. And that scene where she comes in with blood all over, she's like, hey, she's almost smiling like, hey, like that. And she's like, I saved him. You know,
it's like, kind of like interesting foreshadowing too, to where, you know, she ends up, that's probably what she looks like at the end of the movie.
Yeah, you mentioned like she looks like a ghost. Like, holy shit, man. Like, oh, she just looks scary by the end of this movie.
There's a couple moments like that. I think it's even right before she comes in with blood on her in the beginning. There's like this quick editing of like what's going on at the what we need to do at the place and what things are going wrong. There's always like this quick, like, hysteric cutting going on in the movie. And then it kind of like will slow down into these long, drawn shots. And it's crazy too, like the conversations too, like in a movie like this, even later, like, you know, usually you would get a shot of like two people standing, you know, talking to each other in the whole shot. But this movie, like, has close-ups, like cuts back and forth between like the faces.
Oh, yeah. A lot of close-ups in this movie, I noticed.
Also,
yeah,
that also like reminded me a lot of Persona. I wonder like if this was something that Bergman was looking at for it. It's like very similar.
All right, Mike, I know you're really trying to push the fact that you know a lot about Criterion Collection. I'm still a little suspicious of your credentials after this whole Black Narcissist.
I've seen Persona.
Phoniness.
I have seen Persona.
All right. It just somehow, like, out of nowhere, dropping Ingmar Bergman's name just seems like a fucking just seems like a move on your part to just convince us of your Criterion
Persona
knowledge.
Would have been like 20 years later, right? Or something like that. Like 60s?
I think it was 50s.
I'm just saying, you got a lot to prove.
1966.
Oh shit!
I'm staring cockeyed at you, old house.
Wow. He's a phony.
Phony. I'm sorry. Continue. But you're on notice. I just want you to know.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's. There's a lot I just like about it, and it just seems so just contemporary for how old it is. And it made me such a fan of these guys' movies. And I've only gone back. I've only watched The Red Shoes, which I think was their next movie or one of the next ones.
Oh, really? Oh, I've heard of that movie.
Let me see if I could find it. But they like, from what it sounds like, they made a lot of really good movies. So I'm curious to watch them all. Like this, like it's like a team.
Yeah, ones to watch. Yeah, ones to watch.
Let me see. I'm trying to see because they made movies before World War, even during World War II. It looks like a little bit. Yeah, The Red Shoes was their next one, and it was a year later. And so
and that one was pretty popular, right?
I think so, yeah. And I think that one kind of spurred a lot of stuff like, what the hell's the ballet?
I know Martin Scorsese was all about that movie.
I think he's all about this. He actually did the commentary on this one. It wasn't on the copy I had to we had to watch in the store. I want to watch it with the commentary, but I know he did. But I did watch the beginning of it when I had the Blu-ray at one point. And Scorsese was talking about the beginning and how it felt so much like an opening into like a Disney movie kind of thing. And so bright and colorful and the paintings and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It there's some interesting contrast with those bright colors, and it does get kind of dark and mysterious at the end. So I don't know.
There's a lot of contrast in general in the movie, like the convent that they're establishing, you know, trying to build up as a nunnery, is like a former like sex palace, and there's all these like paintings of like orgies and stuff that they're trying to like, don't look at that.
And they're still up there, like you see, like, and it does like shots of those like kind of like naked paintings on the walls toward the end of the movie.
Yeah,
that are in the nuns' rooms. It's I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. It's so cool.
I gotta imagine that was something the Legion of Decency had some problems with too.
They were probably totally fine with the brown face that's going on.
Was it just like the main general? Like who else was?
No, it was the woman Keish,
the 17-year-old, right?
Yeah, the sexy 17-year-old.
Yuck. Yeah, there was a moment, and I wonder if this I'd have to dig into the trivia, but I bet you there's a moment like later on. It's a moment when the little general comes in, like she's getting whipped by the nun or whatever, and he comes in, and there's a moment where she's just on her knees, and the way the shot is framed, it looks like she's about to just fucking just unzip his pants and go to town. Like, was I the only one who thought this?
I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that was framed, it was very suggestive, but it's just like, oh no, she's actually.
I think there's a lot of like very suggestive stuff with that character, and I think like,
oh, he gives her like the necklace or whatever.
Yeah. And I think we're supposed to infer too that Dean and her slept together.
Really?
I think so. I think that's because he like the whole reason she joins he like brings her and is like, she's been at my house every day dressed up like causing me a problem, and they like exchange too, like knowing glances to each other.
Well, they exchange another look where like go ahead. I you know, I want you to do this type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she looks back when she's going in. She's like, really? You want me to do this? He's like, yeah, go.
And she like kind of like winks at him. Like
maybe he brought her around and he like couldn't get rid of her, you know, kind of thing. It was just like a one and done sort of situation.
Yeah, or maybe even just like, well, I am trying to find, like, because she's an orphan and she's has nowhere to go. And like, I'm not going to make you my wife, but here, you can stay here for free.
Yeah. But it's funny
because I got things to do back in my place, like kick my feet up and drink some tea.
Yeah.
Like
I need room for my slaves and percolator
type of character, because he's definitely like a guy that's like, I don't want to help you, but he does kind of thing, you know? He acts like he doesn't care, but he does kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Problematic faith.
Yeah. But I don't know. He's great. And, there's also that crazy lady that was like the caretaker.
The crazy, she's so good.
So typically, like, it would be a crazy cat lady. In this movie, she's a crazy bird lady.
And I love her introduction. It's like in Dean's letter. It's in that narration, that Wes Anderson letter. It's like, there is a caretaker more, like, she doesn't exactly do a great job. And it, like, cuts to her just, like, running around, like, I love when she's feeding the birds, she just like throws bird seed at their face.
It was like panning over like the weeds all overgrown and all that
stuff. Oh yeah, you're really seeing like how fucking shitty it looks. Yeah. So weeds overgrown. God, there's like moment, birds eating
later
like
later in the movie. I think it's like the big general is talking to her, if I'm not mistaken. They're talking about she's like, well, what are these nuns going to eat? And then he looks outside. It's like sausages.
That was a great line.
Sausages. And there's the next line.
Everywhere they go, the Europeans eat sausages.
Now, let me know if I interpreted this, if I heard this line right. Does he say, if you give any trouble, you will be sullied? Is that what he said?
I don't know.
I don't remember that line.
Did I hear
line.
That wrong?
Maybe.
Well, I know what I heard. I know for sure he said sausages. They will eat sausages. I know for sure he said that, and that made me laugh. But the next line, unless I heard it wrong, I thought he says, like, if you give him any trouble, you'll be sullied. And I'm just like...
Maybe he was saying sorry?
Really? Maybe that makes more sense. Because I was like, sullied, is that like, does that mean that like she's gonna get, you know, that's disturbing.
I don't think that's where they were going with that.
Okay, you'll be sorry sounds, that makes more sense. I really hope he said you'll be sorry and not sullied.
Mm-hmm. I do love that though, like, what are these Europeans, like the idea that like they must eat something different in the first place, like what are they going to be able to eat, like, well, we got crates and crates of sausages that should sustain them.
Well, yeah, just big old boxes that say like perishables,
right?
Yeah
they're he's great. The there's a moment too where like, you mentioned this earlier about coffee, when they're like, can you make a good coffee? He's like, can I make coffee? Or something like that, to the one.
And they're all like,
yeah, and then she's all smiling after she's drinking the
yeah, she's drinking coffee. The shitty coffee she made, and it cuts to them, and they're all like...
Right, and, I was like,
it's
was
played
like,
so well, too.
I was just like, that's me. I was just like, I love the shitty coffee. So I was just like... He's like, I'll drink McDonald's coffee all day. I was just like, that's me.
I make garbage coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I got the sense that, like, maybe she just made it super strong, like fucking tar
coffee.
Well, she said what
the problem was. She was like, it's always too gritty. Yeah. I'm imagining she's like strong. Not straining it or something. I don't know what weird way they're making coffee.
Oh, the way you said that, Mike, was great. It's always too gritty.
That's what the sister Gnarif, whatever the hell her name is, says.
Claudette or Claude? It's Mother Superior.
She's literally the main character. Claudette. Why can't we remember her name?
It's a weird name.
Well, at one point I thought her name was Rebecca, so I don't know. I'm not hearing right.
Yeah, it's so good how they play that scene, because it's like just on the cusp of it could have been like a comedy movie. Like, it's like ridiculous that the one who made the coffee is not aware of these faces that they're making, but it was like just subtle enough that it was believable.
I think there's funny moments in the movie.
Oh yeah, totally. But I mean, it wasn't like it was played like in a very understated, believable way.
Yeah.
Not like
someone spitting
over.
It out, like someone they're like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's I don't know. It for some reason it popped out. You know, we didn't even mention this. This was a main inspiration for the caretakers on the planet in Last Jedi.
The island?
No shit.
Yeah, like the look of it and stuff like that. Like what was the name of the island and stuff?
Octo.
It was like the inspiration for the Octo village.
Oh, God, Last Jedi is so good.
Yeah. I think that's why I originally watched it, because I was just like Rian Johnson talking about it or something. So,
what?
It's just a shame that movie had so much backlash and controversy. Like, I don't know. Like we said this before in the past episodes. Like, time is weird in the wasteland. And to be honest, I don't exactly remember how we're in this post-apocalypse. What happened? I just know that bombs fell. I want to say that somehow Last Jedi was involved. Like, I do kind of remember.
You know, the Last Jedi is really where things started to get dire. You know, the backlash to that.
That's where stuff started to get gritty, as they say.
Oh, that was where the coffee got gritty.
We'll have to piece this together, but I think that was the start of it. If we just trace it back to the opening of Rian Johnson's The Last Jedi, that was the start of the end. So we'll figure this out.
Some people,
Cyborg head of Rian Johnson, if you're out there, please let us know. Come by the store. We can watch this movie.
I'd love to have him on if he's still alive. Like, it's just a shame. Some people just found his Star Wars movie a bit too gritty. Others liked it. I don't know. Some people like gritty coffee. Others don't.
They don't like art. But, yeah.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, the costumes are the same as those nuns, you know? They kind of... It's great.
Yeah, it definitely, the color scheme, like just the way it looks is very, it's that gray and kind of green thing that's going on in this.
Anytime we could get a Star Wars reference into the show, that's a plus in my book.
I have to ask Ryan, like, this movie does seem like it kind of got you in a way that most don't. And what exactly was it, that hooked you with this?
I think there's this, like, I think part of it is just like feeling like I never heard of these guys, and like kind of like feel you know, when you're feeling like you know a thing or two about movies and there's always more to discover and stuff, but sure. like it just kind of felt like something that just kind of snuck up on me where I was just like, I never even heard of these and they seem so old and but don't yeah. feel old. And I don't know, just felt like so modern to me. And I don't know, I always get a kick. And I was surprised that it is like so kind of like for a movie about nuns and like Catholic people, it's not very like religious. Like it's kind of more about life and I don't know, just enjoying it and stuff like that. And I thought that was interesting about it. So there's just a lot of things like that. Like it could, like in theory, this movie could be like, what's like the movie that's a joke and a trailer on Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr. and Tobey Maguire, you know, like it's like the Oscar bait, like fake movie, you know, remember what I'm talking about? There's like a fake trailer on Tropic Thunder.
I don't remember where you,
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, it was like a, I mean, it just seemed like the, like a shitty movie. This is almost feels like it's like this could be one of those kind of shitty kind of Oscar baity movies, but I don't know, there's a lot of shit going on with it. And for, you know, where it could be like really problematic, in my opinion, it doesn't really necessarily, it might in some moments, but it just feels more about like celebrating the culture than it is like shitting on it a little bit. Like they're questionable about it in the beginning, but they kind of like come around to it. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I just like about it that I was surprised about.
Yeah. I think I think the character, some of the characters shit on the culture, but I don't think the movie does. And I think that like that those characters, acting the way they do is supposed to be seen as weird and, you know, like they just don't understand them.
Yeah. And, but it's almost like they kind of, like the nuns really enjoy like the ones that are teaching the classes and stuff like that. Like, seem like they really like all the kids that are there and stuff, and they seem eager to learn and all this stuff. Like, I don't know. I thought that was, there's just something tickled me about it. I haven't really quite figured it out, but I do.
Well, was it kind of exciting just to see like, oh, I know movies, I know old movies, and then see like this amazing movie just that is so fresh and out of left field is like, oh, that's exciting. Movies are cool.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think that was the big part of it. It was just like, there's so much more out there to discover in the wasteland, you know, of movies. But
so true.
This kind of felt like one of them, of just like
another reason to visit the video store, you know.
Yeah, right?
Maybe the adults only is gone, but we have so many good films to watch.
I would say arguably you could get more out of this movie than any spank session that you would have gotten from one of our adult films.
Yeah,
you learn to live again, you know, and appreciate the finer things in life.
Yeah, and they're hot. Those nuns are hot, some of them, you know? Especially,
dude, when fucking Dean's Ruth, hot. Like, when Ruth gets her secret package, you don't know what it is. Like, I honestly thought, like, is it, like, poison? Is she going to try to poison, like, Mother Superior or some shit? I was thinking even darker. No, it's a fucking dress and makeup.
Yeah.
I love the reveal of her dressed in that, like, it's
she was
like,
hot!
Yeah. It was, like, played as if it, like, she was wearing her evil superhero costume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did I wanted to go back. Is she, because she kind of looks like in her setup, like wow, she looks at the end, almost looks like the Sister Superior when she has those flashbacks to her.
Oh, you know, wow, you're totally right. Has, like, I didn't even think about that
kind of thing.
The and hair I think, was like the kind of the same, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that's a style, but I'm sure that was an idea of like she's looking at herself, you know, kind of thing. Like maybe what I could have became or something, or I don't know. It's just so many layers, and it's
crazy
feels like
how many problems of the characters of this movie like exist just because sex is considered bad. Like the whole like dark origin story of Mother Superior is she was seeing this guy. The implication is they had sex, and he left and didn't end up marrying her. And then because everyone knew she had sex, she obviously had to just leave her hometown and become a nun.
Yeah. Was that what the implication was? She had sex. You're like,
sex get out. Yeah, she was. She was like everyone knew I was with him. Like, who would want me? Like, they all shunned me
because the guy was like an asshole or something.
No, because she left or he left. He just went
he went to America.
His job in Michigan.
Yeah, and he and didn't want to take her with him, kind of thing. So that's basically. Okay.
Like, and then it was like, I'm like, used goods, you know, who's going to want this?
Like, that girl got dumped. Get her the fuck out of here. It's like, wow, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, and, yeah, and well, and at the end too, they're, you know, Mother Superior and Dean, you know, they clearly want to pursue something, but they can't because of, you know, Mother Superior's vow. You know, I don't know. It is interesting that, like, well, what if they were like, oh, this is fine and normal? How many of them would have easier lives? But I guess that's maybe that's the point of the movie. Like, that's the whole tension that exists, and that's why there's the Rose character who, like, or Ruth or whatever her name is, who dies. Yeah, there's
very brutally, by the way, I thought. I mean, that whole that scene at the end was so tense when she's ringing the Mother Superior is ringing the bell,
and it's something we've set up a lot. Chekhov's gigantic bell at the end of a cliff.
Yeah, that giant cliff face.
Someone's gonna
again,
fall
it's, off it's that hard to believe
cliff.
They found sticks long enough to get the cameras up there.
Yeah, that's where the 800-foot candle was.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, such a cool shot, so well shot, so tense, and just like I was like on the edge of my seat watching this, just like, and then when she gets kicked off at that moment when she's like she's like peeling back Mother Superior's fingers one by one, I was like, fuck
yeah,
this is fucking gnarly.
Oh my god, I was waiting to have that scene of the like the Alan Rickman and Die Hard, because I know that's something you really pay attention to, Dave, and you know have said they always look bad. This one wisely just didn't have it.
Doesn't show it. Like, out of all the movies you've watched, I think it's fair that this one has the best person falling from a building or cliff.
I think so. How harsh were those cuts to just the feet, like, scuttling?
Yeah, man. I think this movie nailed it. Just don't show it.
Yeah, just don't do it.
You know what happened.
And show, like, those minute details around it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, somehow it was, just like that, her peeling each finger back was just so cool.
That was such a like Hitchcock move, I think, to show the individual fingers, you know?
And her face, like cutting back to her face, like, ah! Like she's like, this is a fucking huge mountain, holy shit, you know?
And I love that, like, when she falls, Mother Superior, like, looks. Like, she doesn't shy away from it. It's just like, I'm gonna, like, take this in. Yeah.
And then, like, all you see is, like, the bird.
But
then
it kind of, like, I can't look away. Like, it's like, it
she's
has
like,
that
the
vibe.
Fucking alligator's got her. Holy shit. She bounced off the side of the wall face, too. Holy fuck.
Yeah, there's like an alternate cut of this where it's just like, it's like the Homer Simpson falling down the canyon scene.
Yeah, it's like King Kong. It's like a whole deleted sequence that was too gnarly where like giant spider creatures come and.
It's mostly just like a gentle slope with a lot of like bushes and thorns and yeah.
Well, she falls and gets impaled on a tree branch.
Oh, God.
Like that cliff was so high up, and at the end she asked Dean of one thing is to like take care of the grave or whatever. Like I'm guessing that's Ruth's grave, but she can't be anything but soup at this point, right?
No, but like, that's why it's like take care of the grave, because it's like it's just raw hamburger under some like thin ground. Like the wolves are gonna get at that like crazy. Like make
that's
sure.
Like, oh, sister, there was no grave. We literally hosed her off the floor.
Oh, sweetheart, do you think there was
a
grave?
Kid come in and hose him off.
Oh, the rains will wash her away.
Yeah, I think I saw a little bit of her on the leaf before the rain started falling.
Because she is
dead. Oh, God,
dead.
This got dark so quickly.
It's metal, right, guys?
You were right, man. This movie is metal as fuck. This movie has brain matter. It's suggested, but it's there nonetheless. This
suggested brain matter? That needs to be a thing. Huh? Rated R for adult situations, foul language, and suggested brain matter.
Not to mention sexual repression. Well, I gotta say, good pick, Ryan. Not you, Mike. Ryan, good pick on this one. This is a good one.
I just want, like, I felt like you guys would, like, I was so taken by it, but I was just like, someone has to watch this movie. So, and
I'm glad you slipped the paper to me, Ryan.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know, like, they're, it makes you just like, because. I don't know, anybody, like, I feel like even, like, a kid or, like, someone just getting in the film and, like, discovered Tarantino or something could, like, watch this and get something from it, because it doesn't feel like an old movie. Like,
and it's an easy, if you're trying to, like, as an American, trying to watch, like, foreign film, I think it's an easy transition. Like, it feels kind of like a Hollywood movie in a way, like, which is a specific thing, but it's has, like, some weird tweaks and weird things that wouldn't be in it that are so cool.
Also, it's gorgeous, and it's not that long.
It's not, no. And at the like at this point after the war, everyone was making, you know, freaking musicals and all this kind of shit in Hollywood, and these guys are making this fucking metal shit with nuns and Himalayas. So I don't
Himalayas.
Know.
Crisis of faith.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad you guys liked it. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys got any last thoughts, or should we wrap this broadcast up?
I think we should see if we should recommend it to the Wastes.
Definitely. I think recommends all around.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I have is, let me see, Dean riding in a tiny horse and shorts and sandals.
I'm going to say.
I just have like, what?
Oh, I was just, while you were looking stuff up, I was just going to say I would recommend it for the Wastes. I think the best reason to recommend this is, I think in setting up the nunnery, they give a lot of details on like how they're kind of setting up this like running, functioning society. And I think that would be helpful for listeners in the Wastes to kind of learn. And also, if if there's any Europeans visiting you, you can feed them some rat sausages and they'll be just fine.
But just don't set up your camp like on like a beautiful hillside. There's no more beautiful hillsides left, because you'll probably just lose yourself in the wonderment of the world and end up jumping off a cliff and killing yourself or whatever.
So. Yeah, I mean, especially don't have the thing you have to ring every day be on the edge of the cliff.
The very edge.
You're really asking for a crazy person to push you off.
Yeah,
and there's so many out in the wasteland.
Yeah,
Lord knows.
Be careful.
Yeah, well, I think that's gonna wrap this episode up. I like that we came back, from the brink of destruction, and we came back with like a really an uplifting episode. I think this was a really good one, really uplifting end.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well done, Ryan. Mike, not so much. Well done, Ryan.
I'm sorry, I'm a fraud.
Fraud.
I'll take it.
Well, you got a lot of. Yeah, you got it. I mean, maybe, this movie made me hungry for a different kind of variation of the rat. I don't want a rat burger. Let's make some rat sausages.
Oh, I have a great recipe for some rat filet mignon.
Yes. All right. I like where
the rat flavor really comes out when you eat it raw.
Nice. All right. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to you guys coming back and leaving a comment, a rating, which still, we somehow have like a website. We have a Facebook. Like, I mean, we might be one of the few Facebooks.
Doesn't
left.
Chad have like a time portal function where you can like post things back into time on the internet?
He does. It doesn't exactly help us now, but I think he does have that function.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we mentioned we were running on some sort of nuclear power, so I mean, we do have the power capabilities to do that, to cross time. But but leave us a comment and rating, and subscribe and like us on the Facebooks and the Twitters, and I think that's gonna do it for this broadcast. I'm glad that we classed this place up a bit.
Yeah, you gotta do it every once in a while. We gotta make sure the next one is like a fucking dog shit or something. You gotta mix it up.
Fucking dog shit.
I think dog shit's a good note as any to go out on. What do you guys think?
Sure.
Alright, well, this is Apocalypse Video. Signing off.
Bye-bye.
Do you see that crate? Sausages. They will eat sausages. Europeans eat sausages wherever they go. They will eat them when they come, and until they can tell the cook what else they want to eat.